Welcome to the Mystic Access Podcast, where the magic is in learning.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Mystic Access Podcast. She's Kim.
He's Chris.
Let's rewind this, shall we? Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Mystic Access Podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Lisa.
And there you go.
There's the old intro. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. Happy December. Thank you. Great to have you guys here, and great to have you here, of course. We cannot have a December podcast without having our annual food show. So, of course, because Lisa and I always did the food shows, we have to have her here to help me out and come up with some fun winter warm recipes for you guys. And what's interesting is we are recording this early. What I'm kind of been thinking of is, here's this transition from fall to winter, and what do I really love? What am I really enjoying? A couple of announcements before we really jump into a little more on those musings. One of which is, just a reminder, we do not have a class this month. So if you are expecting a Mystic Access event, please wait until January when they will resume, because December does not have one. Because we know y'all are getting ready for holidays, and so are we, and things are getting a little crazy in terms of holiday prep, and so that will not be something happening this month. So events are essentially over for the year. However, of course, you can still get those holiday orders in by visiting mysticaccess.com or giving us a call during business hours, which are 9 to 5 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday at 716-543-3323. And we will be happy to place those holiday gift orders for you.
Speaking of holidays, I recently discovered something that I wanted to pass along to all of you, especially those of you living in maybe secure buildings or gated communities, some such thing. Recently, I've had some weird inconsistencies with packages that I've had delivered from Amazon. One time, it was sitting outside my mailbox instead of on the package table where they used to be. I had gotten a couple notifications that things could not be delivered. Then yesterday, I got a call and a text, and she basically said, "This is Erin from Amazon. I can't get into your building." So I went down to let her in and get my box. And I basically said, "What's going on?" And she said, "Well, now Amazon is hiring its own delivery people. So you could have a different Amazon person every time. So it's really important, especially if you want to get your boxes, to go in to your account and update your delivery information. In my case, I will be adding the code for the door so that delivery people from Amazon can access the building and leave my goodies inside."
This has been a thing for me for probably the last 6 to 8 months, somewhere around there. My mail person told me that Amazon was delivering their packages now, and they weren't using USPS or UPS as much as they had in the past. One interesting side effect that I've seen with the Amazon delivery service is that you're going to get notifications when your package is closer. It says something like, "See where your package is, it's 10 stops away." So you'll get that notification, and then you'll get a notification when the package is delivered. And they will actually take a picture, at least in my situation, when they drop off the package, they will take a picture of the package that it has, in fact, been delivered.
I haven't yet seen that with the picture. The delivery person I spoke to did say that as of the time that she and I talked, and again, we're recording this early, but as of that time, Amazon was only delivering packages for those with Prime. But they are hoping to roll that function out for everyone before Christmas.
And of course, if you're living in the sticks like I am, you may still be getting your Amazon packages delivered by USPS primarily. So keep that in mind as well. It may not be rolled out all over the country yet in terms of getting your Amazon deliveries by Amazon people. It may be your regular USPS mail carrier or UPS person. So keep that in mind too.
A sad story about Amazon delivery people, and this may not happen to you or what have you. I have a Ring video doorbell, and they have this network thing where people will send out notifications about things that happen in the neighborhood. Well, apparently, somebody who worked for Amazon delivered a package to the house and then opened up the person's mailbox and stole their mail. Yeah, I bet you that Amazon person is no longer working for
Amazon. No, they will never work for Amazon.
I was just like, oh my God. And then about 2 weeks later, I was talking to my mail carrier and she says, yeah, she goes, I saw that video and I went to the owner of the home because it was somebody she knew. And she says, yeah, she goes, she dropped off the package and somebody did steal it. I was just like, oh my God. So keep that in mind that if you can get your packages as soon as possible.
Tis the season for porch pirates, especially this time of year.
Especially this time of the year. Yeah. So that's just another thing to keep in mind that, you know, when you're getting your stuff delivered, if at all possible, either get it delivered to work or get it delivered where you can get it as soon as possible because people will be roaming around. And unfortunately, this is the world that we live in and we have to think like that. But, you know.
I anticipate the coming of packages kind of like a two-year-old anticipates Santa. So that's usually not a problem for me. Those notifications on my phone are the best thing ever.
Needless to say, Chris always enjoyed working with Lisa and I around the holiday season because we both went absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Never change.
We could just about hear his eyes rolling. It was pretty
totally,
cool.
Totally. Because we would get so excited.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, my package is coming. My package is coming, you know.
It's a box. Yeah. It's a box. Oh, it's Zyrtec. Yeah, yeah. I forgot I ordered that. Oh, boring. It's well.
Can I punch it? Can I see what's in it?
Exactly. I will love it and hug it and squeeze it and call it joy. Whatever the reference to cartoon. Another thing, since I feel like this is the Lisa Gets Mouthy edition, I want to do a little bit of a follow-up to something that Chris talked about a couple podcasts ago. He talked about getting the QB Junior under desk elliptical. Sadly or not, I know myself. I know that I would love to use something like this, but the thing that would absolutely kill it for me, and I'm a little ashamed to admit this, but it is what it is, the thing that would kill it for me would be not having those motions count. I did a lot of research, and I didn't realize until later, but I had actually researched this a couple months ago, and then came back to it when Chris talked about it on the podcast. And so I did get one, but I got the Pro, which has the app. I figure if you're going to lay out the money, you know, pay a bit extra and use it, because without that synchronization, I know me too well and I wouldn't. I'd be like, okay, I have to get in my steps other ways, so forget it. So I did get it. There does not appear to be a physical display on the unit. It connects. There's a micro USB port, and it connects to electricity somehow, whether that be a USB port or a wall outlet. The app was not great, but you kind of have to deal with its madness for just a little while. You deal with it to connect it, and then you deal with it to synchronize it to your Apple stuff, and you're pretty much done. Connecting was quite easy. It had a connect button. Now, in the instructions, it said that there was a serial number on the bottom of the one pedal. So I was all good and prepared. I called Ira and I got the very long number read. And turns out that when I actually connected it, you don't go into Bluetooth settings on your phone. It's all right within the app. It essentially just kind of looked around and said, oh, we see this one. Is this the one you want to connect to? And you say yes, but until you have it plugged in, it won't see it. You can't do that. So it really was a fairly painless process. The box was nearly as tall as I was. So getting that thing up to my apartment and then sliding it under the desk without meaning my head, was good fun. Those calories should count for something. But I really like it. I'm quite happy with it. It's quiet. I'm pedaling away now as we're recording. And I like the fact that I can kind of get two things done at once. I can have a little more activity and, you know, be doing something that is fairly sedentary, namely sitting. So that's kind of my update on it. I haven't tried it on Android yet, but I plan to. Again, we do have links to the QB models in the show notes.
Can I let you in on a little secret?
Please do.
If I'm using my watch and I set it to elliptical, it does count. It counts the exercise. So you get an exercise goal. It doesn't count the steps, but it will count the exercise.
That's what I want, because like I didn't even think. I never do. I didn't think to start the exercise goal part of this. For me, it's all about the steps.
For me, it's completing those three rings.
Yeah, and really, I should be doing it because it would be nice to just say, you know, I completed them, because I do. I just don't always chart it. So it's really a matter of kind of what's important to you. I'm liking it. I am needing to get a lower chair because my current chair was way too high, and I'm now using a kitchen chair, and I need to find something a little more comfortable for daily use. But I've had it now for about a day and a half, and I'm quite happy with it.
Cool.
You know, one thing you cannot do from a kitchen chair, really, very comfortably, or sitting at all, really, very comfortably, is baking for the holidays. And since we're working out, we might as well have something to work out of our systems.
Oh, yeah.
Which in this case would be holiday yummy goodness. And what do we have on the menu from you, Lisa, on this holiday goodness episode?
We have a story.
Yay!
It's always a story with me. I had no idea what I was going to talk about. Because we chatted a couple days before, and I said, I don't know, I could do this recipe or that recipe. I made carrots with apple cider, and that was actually really good and kind of fall. Although, by the time this podcast comes out, apple cider will have been replaced by eggnog.
Yes.
Somehow, carrots with eggnog just doesn't do it for me.
Not so much.
So, I have wanted for a while to get the molds to make cream cheese mince. Now, you may or may not know what these are. They're sort of the texture of fudge. Some weddings and baby showers that I've gone to have had these as favors. You can also make them, and some people use them to top cakes. So if you can frost a cake evenly, but you can't really decorate it, you could use these. I got these molds, and I made these mints. I was really disappointed because nothing I did would get them to come out of the molds in one piece. So I did what I should have done initially, and I went online and I wrote how to use silicone candy molds. So now, if you're at all familiar with candy molds, there are two kinds. There are hard plastic ones, and those are used for chocolate. You can't use those for the soft candies because there's no way to unmold them. Chocolate ones, you can just turn them over and they fall out. But then they have these silicone molds. So I looked for how to use them, and they said, well, you can dust them with powdered sugar. And I tried it, and it didn't work. And again, I was bummed. So I went to Twitter, and someone said, try saran wrap. Well, that was a pain in the butt because it clung to the outside of the molds, and it was like rocket science to get it to go into the little cavities and into each little part of the shape. And when I unmolded them, it still didn't work. I froze them. No dice. I coated them. I just did like one at a time by this point because my patience was not there. I coated one or two with butter. It didn't work. I tried nonstick cooking spray. Nothing. So I was ready to say to one of my sisters who makes chocolates, hey, I have these molds, you can have them. You can make this recipe and you can roll these into little balls. And then to make them pretty and kind of uniform, you can just press down with the tines of a fork. Well, ironically, I'm on a Small Women's List. And this very morning, I saw a woman posted this recipe. I made a little ball, and I rolled each ball in sugar, and I pressed it into the mold, and it came out beautifully. So all is happy in my world now, and I will be able to give these as lovely little holiday gifts. Now, what I'll probably do, wait another week or two until colored sugar comes out in the stores and roll them in colored sugar, like red and green. So for now, I have them just the actual stuff in an airtight bowl in my fridge. So this is how you make them. And it's very easy. It is a kind of time intensive and a patient-intensive project. For example, one of my little molds is a gingerbread man. And so you really have to kind of press down and spread the stuff evenly to make sure that it gets in the head and each of the little legs. And you get these flexible silicone molds if you're using molds. And each mold has 15 shapes. So I have gingerbread men and candy canes and presents and Santa faces and snowman faces and a few things that not even the IRA agent knew what they were supposed to be. If I couldn't identify them, I probably won't be making them. But anyway, this is how you actually do make them. You take an 8-ounce package or block of cream cheese. You want to make sure that it is soft. So what you want to do if you're making them at night is set it out in the morning. If you're making them in the morning, just set it out at night. Another thing you'll need is a 1/4 cup of butter. That's a half stick. The recipe that I have says unsalted butter. I've had them made with both, and I've had them made without butter, and I honestly can't tell the difference, except I really found I needed the butter to take up all the powdered sugar. So to me, the easiest way to make sure that everything mixes is you have your softened butter and your cream cheese, and you put those in a large bowl. To that, you add a teaspoon of peppermint extract. Now, apparently, you can get peppermint or mint. Other people have done rum extract, vanilla, lemon. They've made all different flavors, and I think they would all be good. It kind of comes out with the texture of fudge. But when I've had them, they've always been mint. You mix all those things together. I think it's better to add the extract before the sugar. The other thing that you really might consider doing is measuring the extract over a little cup or something. I did that once when I was just learning to cook. I had the most vanilla-y whatever it was, but it was horrendously awful. Yeah. So you take those things and you mix them together. Some people add food coloring at that point. I didn't have any. I didn't care really. At this point, I just wanted to see if it worked. To that, you add 2 pounds of powdered sugar and you're going to mix for quite a while. And it does get kind of stiff and hard. And so you do have to just kind of mix and mix and mix. You mix with your hands. I did see somewhere that you could do it in a food processor. I think that would be more work than it's worth. Once you have everything well mixed, you can either store it in the refrigerator, or you can roll it into balls, or you can put it in your molds. If, like me, you want to put it in the refrigerator and then come back to it, it will be easier for you if you get it out about an hour ahead to let it soften a little. Otherwise, you're going to have a fairly hard time. And at least if you're using molds, they're fairly small. So that recipe is going to make a boatload of mints. From what I know, they can be left out, but in general, if people are storing them for any length of time, they seem to store them in the refrigerator. So that is my recipe and my, unfortunately, rather long story. And I guess actually, if you wanted, especially during the rolling part, you could conceivably sit down to do that particular holiday task. which is really nice because if someone has limited mobility, it would make an easy project for that person.
Absolutely. Or it sounds like it would be a fun recipe to share with someone. So someone does the initial prep and then someone else does the mold pouring or the rolling out, the stirring. So
that's the thing I like about this is there's no pouring. I mean, I tried making chocolate molds and it was a disaster because you get a little bit on your finger and then you can't feel anything. And you're like, ah, there's chocolate 6 inches up my arm. How the heck did it get there? But you know, the molding of them especially is fun if you have little people in your lives. Because when the sugar worked and I unmolded it and half of it didn't stick to the mold, it came out so beautiful and so pretty in my hand. I knew it was supposed to do that. But out loud all by myself, I went, oh, isn't that cool? So yeah, big people, little people. I just think they're fun.
And who are we kidding? Lisa and I are both such little people at Christmas time to begin with. We're just like,
it's fun. I was an elf in a former life, maybe.
Totally.
Who knows? Totally. So what are you cooking?
What I'm making or sharing with you may not necessarily go with your mince, although I suppose you could use it earlier in your meal. And while it's not necessarily a holiday-ish treat, you can certainly use it as part of your holidays. And I will stop being ambiguous about it and tell you that what we have today is beer bread. And some of you may have heard of this and you're thinking, beer bread, what is that all about? Well, it's because you don't use any yeast. So you're using beer to accomplish the same purpose of making your beautiful, fluffy, lovely, tasty bread. And this is a recipe that has been made in my family for probably 20 years now or thereabout, and has just been something that has been a wonderful, wonderful treat in the fall and winter months. It's delicious, it's tasty, and it's fast. And don't worry, for those of you who are thinking, beer, I don't know if that's something that interests me in terms of having it as part of my recipe, you won't taste it. What you will taste is delicious, decadent bread. And who doesn't want some extra carbs around the holiday season? So I'm going to help you in making that dream come true. And basically, all you need is 3 cups of self-rising flour, 1/2 cup of sugar, and a 12-ounce can of beer. Pick your favorite. If you have a favorite, you can use it. Pretty much any beer will do. So if you have no idea, just get a 12-ounce can of something, and you will be a happy camper. All this is combined, and you essentially pour it into a bread pan or a loaf pan, and you are good to go. You will put it in the oven for 45 minutes at 350. The recipe I'm going to send you says 375. I talked to my mom and made sure that I had all of the differences in her recipe versus the recipe I had online. The ingredients, the amount of ingredients are the same. The reason I'm sending you the online recipe is because the lady who put it on her website has some very interesting alternatives to the beer bread. So she did something like jalapeno beer bread, and she did a couple other different things. She talked about different ways she used it, like cubing it up as part of her spinach dip. And yeah, I know, right?
And I was thinking cheese beer bread.
Cheese beer bread. Yes, I think she had something as some way part of cheese beer bread. I can't remember exactly what her recipe was, but that's one of the reasons I wanted to share her site as a resource, because she does have some really fun twists on your major basic beer bread recipe. So it's very, very simple. Once you take it out after about 45 minutes, and I think she says 40, but my mother says 45, but she's also baking it 25 degrees less than is said in this lady's recipe. So keep that in mind. And what my mom does differently than what is stated in this recipe is once you take it out, with her recipe, you then coat it in 1/4 cup of margarine. And this lady says you can use butter, which you certainly can, but margarine works just as well. You will not know the difference. I assure you, it is yummy and delicious and just amazing. So you use 1/4 cup of margarine on top. You put it back in the oven for 10 more minutes, and then you are ready to go. And it is crumbly, crunchy, and delicious around the edges. It has that nice, crusty crunch. And you can put honey on it. You can put jelly on it. You can eat it by itself. There are any number of ways you can use it as a nice side for your meal. You can use it to make a meal, depending on how hungry you are. and you can really just enjoy it all through. It works beautifully with soups. If you want to have a piece of bread with your soup, if you want to have it with your egg for breakfast, there are any number of ways that you can have a sumptuous, delicious piece of beer bread. So if you're feeling a little bit like, not sure, Kim, trust me on this. Just try it out. And I think you'll be very, very pleased with the outcome, because it is really a very, very delicious recipe. And over the years, I have talked many of my friends into using it. I don't know how many friends from college days onward have got this recipe for me for beer bread, and who religiously make it regularly during the fall and winter months, because it really is a warm, delightful, yummy comfort food to enjoy during the cooler months.
You know, I want to kind of emphasize what Kim said. I'm not really a drinker. And if I were, the last thing I would drink is beer.
Yep.
To me, beer tastes like what I imagine earwax would taste like. It just is not my thing.
You mean, however, you don't know?
No. Okay. You can tell us, Chris.
I wouldn't know either.
Okay. But I have found over the last couple years that some of the things I have tried and loved the most in recent years have contained beer. I've had beer cheese soup, and I've had beef stroganoff made with beer. And it doesn't taste like beer. It just gives it a richness. It's like, I don't know, when she said beer bread, my mouth started to water. Because it's a shame in a sense that you can't taste the beer. But for drinking, not so much. But cooking, it really does improve things, I think.
The lady on the website says you can taste the beer, and so to use your favorite drinking beer as the source. I really don't think so. I just think it makes it a really yeasty, delicious bread. I don't really can't say, well, this beer was made with Coors Light, or this beer bread was made with Bud. You know, I'm not going to be able to tell you that based on eating the beer bread. There's no way.
And the alcohol cooks off. So if you can't have it because of a medication, you don't have to worry about
that. You don't have to worry. You aren't going to get sauced on having a piece of beer bread. It's not
going to
happen.
You have to worry more about medication with the mints if you're on diabetes medication.
Yes. Yes. So definitely, like Lisa said, you know, don't be so affronted that you aren't willing to give it a lovely taste, especially if you get the chance to eat it fresh out of the oven. Nice, delicious slice. And if you use my mom's hack and have your butter on top, and or your margarine
Stop,
on top.
You're killing me. I'm getting so hungry. I haven't had supper yet. That sounds wonderful.
And the smell of it baking in the oven is just divine. So,
and if you don't use it all, then you could make French toast or bread pudding.
Absolutely. Yum. It would make wonderful bread pudding, the consistency of it, because they're such nice big slices. So now we've made you nice and hungry. Of course, these recipes will be in the show notes. So come to the site if you're not there already and check it out and make your own. And we look forward to hearing what you think of our holiday goodies this year.
We interrupt this podcast for a special bulletin from the North Pole.
Happy holidays, Mystic Access listeners. This is Santa sending you warmest greetings from my extremely busy workshop. I'll be climbing down your chimney to stuff your stockings full of Christmas cheer before you can say Kris Kringle. And if you've been especially good, I'd love to bring you some special shiny gifts from Mystic Access to make your holidays extra bright. Before I make my list and check it twice, be sure to check out the Mystic Access shop page to find your favorite treats or something to make those you love very merry. Need ideas? Check out the podcast, listen to samples on mysticaccess.com, or give Kris and Kim a call at 716-543-3323. Merry Christmas, and I expect particularly delicious milk and cookies from you this Christmas Eve. And don't forget the reindeer. They get extra hungry pulling my humongous heavy sleigh around the world. See you soon. Ho, 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 ho.
Now that you've baked your bread and worked out and all this other stuff, Kim and I are going to take a trip into the Mystic Access Magic Castle, where we speak with Cassell Wilson from National Braille Press, and we talk about all things NBP.
So you can read your books while you're digesting your bread and your mints and working out on your new QB.
Welcome to the Mystic Access Magic Castle.
We are so pleased to be chatting with Cassell Wilson, who is editor and programs manager with National Braille Press. And we are so excited to be learning a lot about some of the great holiday goodies that NBP is going to be bringing our way for this upcoming season, because there's always good stuff in the pipeline from NBP, but no time more special, probably for most of us, than holiday season, when we get to purchase them for not only ourselves, but the people we love, and splurge a little bit and take the time to say I love you with something special. And when Braille literacy is involved in that, I think that makes things all the better. So, Cassell, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here again. This is getting to be a regular occurrence, and it's really fun.
Yay! Yes, it is lots of fun. For anyone who doesn't know, and I would be very surprised if anyone doesn't know, give us the abridged version of NBP and your mission.
Sure. So NBP, National Braille Press, we're a publishing company, and we produce materials for blind and low vision individuals across all content categories and across all age ranges. We're primarily known for our print Braille children's books, and also for our technology and reference books for adults. But we do all sorts of different types of books, everything from health books to cookbooks, books on fitness, really anything that would come into an individual's life. We want to cover those topics. We've been around for over 90 years. And in addition to the division that I work in, which is the publications department, which most people know through our online bookstore and purchasing our books, we also have other divisions. So we have, for instance, a business-to-business division, and we have an education division, and we have a development division. So business-to-business is where people can go, any content creator can go and actually hire us, use our transcription, proofreading, printing, and manufacturing capabilities to produce their products. So for instance, if you're a restaurant and you want your menus in Braille, we can produce those for you. If you're a testing company, we can make your testing materials. So any content creator can come to us for that as well, and that's the business-to-business division. Then we have the education division, which does the testing and things like that. And then development is the division that raises money from individuals and corporations to help fund the work that my division does, the publications division, that helps us have the resources we need to be able to make materials for children and adults and sell them at or below cost, because we are a nonprofit.
That's absolutely fantastic, because it allows those of us who utilize Braille to get our content at affordable prices, which is absolutely fantastic and so helpful, because Braille has been known to be incredibly expensive over the years, and it used to cost a tremendous amount more to get your Braille book than your print volume, particularly since many times, like I think of the Harry Potter books, for instance, you're going to get something that is 10, 12 volumes for Order of the Phoenix or whatever it would have been for something that large, versus a print volume. So it really does make a huge difference to so many lives. And the fact that you can also order in electronic Braille and other formats as well, so you can read on your Braille display. You don't just have to get hard copy Braille if you don't want to. There are lots of options. And you guys also have magnets, jewelry, all sorts of other ways to use Braille and other products that use Braille as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there'd be two things that I would want to highlight based on what you just said. The first is that I guess one way to think of it is every time you purchase a book from our online bookstore, you're helping us to make more books. So really, if you believe in our mission, which is Braille literacy, and which is actually just literacy, then one way that you can support us is by purchasing our products. So every book you buy gives us resources to make more books. The other thing is we do absolutely try to make materials available in multiple formats. So hard copy Braille, electronic Braille, DAISY, Word documents, a lot of different formats, large print for different personal preferences and for different types of readers.
Absolutely. And that hopefully broadens the appeal even more for anyone listening to this who says, maybe my Braille isn't the best, but maybe I'd like to use this to help me to improve. Maybe I could get something in Word or something to assist me in increasing my own Braille knowledge as I'm also reading other documentation.
But I love what you said about the more we buy, the more we can support NBP's mission of literacy. And you're right, it is just literacy, because it's important for people to have the ability to read confidently and capably and have access to material that they need to read. And your organization is a tremendous, vital resource in making that a reality for so many people. So maybe we should just jump in and let's talk about some ways that people could fill their stockings with NBP holiday magic for the upcoming season.
Sure. Yeah. Why don't I highlight the products that you're going to see coming out in our Holiday Picks catalog, and then a few other products that will come up slightly before or after that. So basically the new products that we have available. So we will have something called Wednesday Morning Quotations, Volume 2. Some Yay! Of you know we put out these 52-page booklets of quotes, and these are inspirational quotes. We did Sunday through Saturday, and then we cycle back and start doing Volume 2 for each of the days. So we're at Wednesday Morning Quotations, Volume 2. So that means it's the second Wednesday Morning Quotations. These are just inspirational quotes that you can flip to a new quote for each week of the year. That's why there's 52 of them. And then you can use that quote to sort of motivate you or inspire you throughout that week. Or some people just like to flip through them at random and find inspirational quotes. Some people devour them all at once. There's no right or wrong, but basically there's 52 inspirational quotes in each booklet. So we'll be coming out with Wednesday Morning Quotes. Some people collect them all, so... We certainly encourage that. Another really exciting book we have is another Spanish book. It's called Hola, Hombre Mosca. So that's one of these fly guy books, but in Spanish. We try to put out at least one new Spanish book every season. So we've been slowly building up our repertoire of Spanish books. So that's a very popular book in English. I expect it would be pretty popular in Spanish as well. Then we have a new board book called Touch and Feel Dinosaur. That's an uncontracted braille, and it's a very tactile book. There's a lot of different textures and shapes that a young child can explore with their hands. So again, we're always trying to put out new board books, and this is our new board book for this season. There's our ever-popular Peanuts calendar. So the 2020 Peanuts calendar. We do that every single year. We make about 500 copies of this, and they sell out very quickly. So I encourage people, if you want to get this year's Peanuts calendar, let us know right away. Everyone looks forward to those, and it's different from any other calendar that's available because we transcribe all of the text that is on the calendar. So if individual holidays or special events are noted on the calendar, you'll find that in Braille for that as well. So it's not just the day or the week or the number or the date. It's also the holidays that are occurring throughout the year. It's a really special calendar.
It is special. And I just have to interrupt to put in my wholehearted recommendation for that one because I have last year's and loved it. It's just been such a fun little experience to have on my desk and refer to. And it's just a great, of course, very high quality, but come on, it's Peanuts and it's fun and it's exciting. So what can you possibly not want out of that?
Well, it's a real labor of love too. The amount of handwork involved in producing that product, it's a lot. It's always fun to go downstairs and see the people who are collating this, the people who are adhering the Braille labels. It's a real, real time-consuming labor of love product, but we do it every year because we love it so much. Our customers love it so much. It's such a unique product, and we will continue to do it every year for as long as we can.
Ooh, it's so exciting.
We're also going to have a new magnet. As you mentioned before, we have not just books. We have other things like magnets and quote books and jewelry. And so our new magnet, this is a print braille magnet, so it has both the print and the braille. The new magnet for this year says, whatever you are meant to do, do it now. The conditions are always impossible. So like most of our magnets, it has an inspirational quote, and that's the magnet for this season. We also are going to come out with a new boutique product that we're really excited about. The company is called Candoables. and we're selling these can-do sets. And what these are plastic clips that you can clip onto your canned goods. And the front of the clip will say in Braille what that canned good contains. And then the interior has the same label in print. They're dishwasher safe. They can, I believe, be put in the freezer or the refrigerator. So they're very, very sturdy. We're selling four different starter sets. Each set will have six clips in it. So there's a basic vegetable set, a basic beans set, a tomato set. So like, you know, diced tomatoes, tomato paste, so on and so forth. And then a fruit set. We actually discovered these when we were, I believe, at the NFB convention. There was a woman there who is the founder of this company, and she dropped by our booth and she showed us her goods, and we were so impressed with the quality. These are actually 3D printed, and yet the quality is so high. Often with 3D printed materials, it's hard to get the Braille to be high quality. And she just kept engineering and re-engineering and engineering and re-engineering until she got the highest quality product. And we felt that it was a good enough quality to carry in our catalog. So we're really excited about these. Now you can throw the clip on your canned good, and it doesn't matter if your cabinet is organized or not organized. You can reach in and feel exactly what canned good you have. So we're
really
excited.
Yep, I'll be getting a couple sets of those, that's for sure.
Are they different sized for different sized cans, or how do they wrap around the can, or are they magnetic? How does that work?
They wrap around the can. One of the nice things is you clip them on like almost like a bracelet on the can. And there's a really nice clicking sound when they go on. We're selling these specific sets. She sells many, 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 many different types for all sorts of different sized cans. So for instance, we all know the tomato paste can is generally a small can, whereas a can of baked beans might be a different size. So they do vary to fit the standard size can for that material. Another product that we're always excited about every year is our holiday card. So every year we make a holiday card that we sell both in the publications department, but that we also send as our company card. And this year the message is slay the season. And so we have a little pun there, and it shows an adorable little dragon baby sliding down a hill on a toboggan with a wooden sword in his hand, charging ahead down this hill. A Santa hat, and it has the message, slay the season. And the card is in both print and Braille. And then we designed the card so that you could actually open the card up and put it in your, for instance, your Perkins Braille or something, and write your own personal message as well on the card. So we're always looking forward to that every year. We have a lot of fun. There's a whole bunch of people from different departments that come together, and we brainstorm together, and we design that as a team. So every department has input. And it's just a sort of a company-wide fun product to produce. And every year we have a lot of fun doing it, thinking about the fact that this is going to go to every one of our customers, every one of our supporters, and then also be available for our customers to buy if they want to send it to their friends and family. So another product that we'll be coming out with that you'll see in our holiday catalog is another uncontracted board book called Never Touch a Shark. And again, that is a board book that has different tactile elements to it. And then in addition to our holiday card, we also have our yearly Valentine's Day card. People who are familiar with our products know every year we put out a Valentine's Day card. This year, the message is your dynamite. And we have an adorable dinosaur on the front of it who's sort of throwing up a handful of hearts into the air. And again, the message is both in print and in Braille. So if you're someone who likes to give Valentine's Day cards, either in the classroom or to your friends, again, this year we'll have a really fun Valentine's Day card that you can purchase from us. And we sell both of the cards, the holiday card and the Valentine's Day card, in sets. Another set of really interesting products that we'll be coming out with, these aren't in the holiday catalog, but they will be coming out this season, is we're trying something a little bit new. We're actually going to put out the scripts for two plays. One play is called Our Town, and the other one is called The Crucible. There's an organization that puts out a list every year of the most popular plays that are produced in high schools across the country. And we looked at that list and we chose these two plays from that list. So we know that they're plays that are often produced in high schools. And we figured, well, if you're a blind student at that school and you might want to try out for the school play, it'd be great if you had that script available to you in Braille. And so we're making those two scripts available this year as well. And then let me tell you a little bit about some of our technology books that we'll be coming out with. Some are already available, and by the time people listen to this podcast, they'll all be available. So one of them is a new Judy Dixon book. It's called 31 Cool Things You Can Do With Your iPhone. And the subtitle is From Fun to Practical to Entertaining. So this is a really interesting book, like most of Judy's books, and it just goes over some of the things you can do with your iPhone that you may have never known that you can do. So for instance, you can use your iPhone as a level. You can use your iPhone as a metal detector. If you drop a screw and you want to find it, you can actually use your iPhone for that. So it's just 31 really interesting things that you may not know you can do with your iPhone, and she goes over all of them. And in typical Judy Dixon fashion, when there's more than one app available to do something, she's weeded through all the versions and found the one that she thinks is the most accessible, the most user-friendly, and the most reliable. So she's done all that background work of slogging through multiple apps to find the ones that are going to give you the best result. Then another really exciting book by Mystic Access, as in you, Kim, and Chris, that we're really excited about, is called Dinner Delivered, and the subtitle is Accessible and Easy Ways to Receive Meals Direct to Your Door. Now, this is a technology book that is also a human interest book. So we go through all the different options for either having meals delivered to your door or grocery items delivered to your door, and discuss the accessibility of either the available app or the website. And this is all about, I should let you say a few words on this book. Do you want to say a few things about it?
Yeah, I can speak to that for just a second. We had this idea months ago, and I remember just kind of tossing it out like, now I wonder if this would be something interesting. And it kind of sat around for a few months, and we all thought about it, and it did turn out to be something that we all thought would be interesting enough to release for people. And I think people will be very excited because there are so many options. And what we tried to do here was to discuss the pros and cons of each option as it stood at the time of writing the book, and the benefits of using these services to begin with. You know, why would you care? Why do you really want to? And so there's that piece of it, that human interest piece of why is this better than what you're doing now? So we kind of describe the pros and cons, the benefits of each service, what they do, how they work. And the book is divided up into things like grocery services and the delivery services, the restaurant delivery services. And then there's a section on online services. So stuff that will be shipped to your door if, like me, you happen to live in a very rural area where you can't get any of this other stuff. So it was a very interesting book from that perspective because there was a lot of stuff we got to play with. And Chris got to eat lots of food during the course of us doing the book.
Oh, yeah, he did. And he's still recovering from that.
So that made it very interesting. I think one day from one of the places we had to order like three times in 24 hours from one place.
No, it was three times in about 4 hours.
It was not 4 hours.
Yes, it was. It was like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 4 o'clock. I remember.
I only remember twice that we had to do it in one day, but okay. If you say so, you would probably remember that.
It was one time you weren't around and I had to order again.
Okay. So you have the receipts to prove it. So
I do.
It'll make your understanding of how that worked. But it's very interesting, especially from my perspective, since I'm kind of green with envy over a lot of it, because it's something that I had to play with remotely through Chris's computer, so it wasn't really something or that I had the ability to play with on my own and place a lot of orders. So it was a very interesting collaboration to get this out to all of you. So we hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoyed putting the content together and getting it ready.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting book, too, because you address two really important issues. One is that location determines everything.
Yeah.
Which services you have access to is going to depend in large part on where you live. And then also just realizing that there are so many different options. And then, of course, you talk about in the introduction why this is an important issue. And part of why it's an important issue is because it's the independence to order exactly what you want versus relying on other people. Do you want to address that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. We had this conversation while we were putting things together about what Chris called the sighted filter. And I thought that was kind of an interesting term for it, but it's kind of true. Chris, explain a little bit, because you're the one that kind of came up with this brainchild.
Yeah, well, the sighted filter means that you are going to a grocery store, for example, and you go with a list of 10, 12 different things, possibly, and you don't know what else is there. You don't ask, maybe you just want to go in and out and be done with it. But I used to have somebody who would take me grocery shopping every couple of weeks, and the joke was, when I started using these grocery shopping delivery services, was he had said to me, he goes, "So I bet you're spending less money ordering this way than when I was taking you." I said, "On the contrary," I said, "you can walk down the virtual aisle and pluck this and throw it in your cart because this looks good. This looks good." It gives you the ability to not only get what you want, but it also gives you the, if you want to call it an ability, the ability to impulse shop in a grocery store.
Right, which you can't do. Right, right. And the other thing, well, actually, one of the other things you mentioned, which I think is really interesting, is let's say you're grocery shopping with friends and you know you need peanut butter, and you say to them, "Oh, I need peanut butter for this recipe." So they grab you peanut butter, and you don't realize until you get home, like, "Well, actually, I needed a container that was twice that size for this recipe." Or, you know, someone might tell you there's X, Y, and Z options, but not tell you about the A, B, and C options. So you're sort of a little bit at the mercy of what they think to tell you is on the shelf in terms of your choices. Whereas when you're using these services, yeah, you can see everything. You can put in your cart exactly what you want.
Yeah,
you can, and you can
bigger and bigger.
It does get bigger and bigger. But, you know, you can also be conscious of, like, if you're being conscious of the nutrition of something too. A lot of these sites allow you to read ingredients,
right,
calories, and, you know, all the different macros about a particular item, which I just think is awesome. You know, you've got that ability right there at your fingertips.
Yeah, and they might keep track of what you've ordered in the past, so the next time you go to get it, you can look at things you've ordered previously. So there's just so many, you know, for so many people, blind or sighted, there's so many advantages to using these services. And this ties into, you know, for a certain percentage of our technology books, they're technology books, but they're technology and human interest. In other words, they're technology books, but they're about the everyday things that we experience in life. We all need to eat. We all want to be fit. We are X, Y, and Z. And so this brings together the technology aspect of looking at their accessibility, and then the human interest aspect of, I want to eat better meals, or I want to refine my grocery shopping, or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's my favorite thing to write.
I was looking at something earlier today, and I was using one of the restaurant apps, and I went to McDonald's, and I just, for the sake of doing so, looked at a Happy Meal and nearly fell over with the amount of calories that were in a Happy Meal.
Yeah, they might be happy for some people, but
right,
not necessarily.
Right, but it told me the number of calories that were in that, which was nice.
Right. Information that you would not have access to if you just went into a McDonald's and placed an order.
Right.
Well, so let's get into a little bit of an adjacent topic, which is we now have three Mystic Access books available for our readers. Now, most people are familiar with Mystic Access podcasts or electronic products, but we now have three products that are available in Braille, eBraille, so on and so forth. We have the Google Suite book. We have the Dating in the Digital Age, which again is another technology slash human interest book. And now we have the Dinner Delivered. And of course, we'll continue with this partnership and make more books. But I would encourage anyone who's listening to this to check out all of those. And I especially want to promote the Dating in the Digital Age book, because I think a lot of people might say, well, you know, that doesn't necessarily apply to me. I'm not dating at this moment, or I maybe wouldn't date online. But the book is not just about online dating. There's also really good tips about dating in general, things that would apply to anyone, no matter whether you're trying to just meet someone through school or work or church or whatever. It's got a lot to say about dating in general. And issues such as when or how to broach the topic of your blindness or low vision. Do you want to address that a little bit? Talk a little bit about that book?
Yeah, absolutely. That was such a fun project because it was the first time that I was really kind of one-on-one with you in terms of all the ins and outs of the process. And it was great because I learned so much. And it was so fun to kind of watch it all come together from the beginning all the way through the editing and going into production. And it was just amazing. But the thing that was so interesting about that book is that I got to kind of bring in the technology parts. But as you say, also these other pieces that you want to consider when making these types of decisions, like to share or not to share your blindness. I got to share a few fun anecdotes that happened to me along the way, which I only shared a couple in the book, and I could have obviously shared more, but this experience wasn't about me. But I wanted to share enough to kind of give you an idea of some of the things that might happen to you while you were on the journey. So there's a lot to say about what do I share? How do I share it? Well, I'm not a very good writer, so what do I do? How do I put together profiles? Do I really need a picture? As we were saying, when should I share or should I not share about my blindness? And that is one of those things that we talk a little bit about in some detail in the book, because you could go either way on it, and there are advantages and disadvantages, as I see it, to doing it either way. So, you know, there are a lot of pieces that you talk about in there that I think are pretty vital to the understanding of the process, as well as the types of people you may meet on the journey. And some of them are awesome and wonderful, and some of them you want to stay away from. So I got to use my coaching background. I got to use my psychology background. I got to write. I mean, it was great because I got to use a whole lot of the tools from my toolbox, plus my personal experiences, to write about something that really just became a labor of love to put it down for other people, because I got to share a lot of things that I wish I had thought about early on in my journey when I was doing things that I would now consider pretty stupid that I wish I had not done, that I would prefer that other people think about seriously before they do them. So I tried to be very compassionate and empathetic, but also pretty straightforward and honest, and shoot very straight with people about these are some of the things you may or may not encounter, and this is how you may want to present yourself. So there's a lot of pieces to it. And as you were saying, it's not just for those of you who are considering dating right now. If you want to create or co-create a relationship with someone that you've met online, this is something that reading it would probably be an educational experience for you, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I guess it brings up another couple points, which is, you know, many of the concepts in this book are very universal and explore issues that anyone, blind or sighted, would encounter when you put yourself out there in the online dating world. And it's also, even if you yourself are not dating, you might have younger people in your life, children, cousins, nieces, nephews who are. And it's good to get an understanding of how this whole new world works, because it's a relatively new way to approach dating. And yeah, you have a lot of advice about how to create your profile, but you also, when you highlight the different major services that are available, you discuss how they have different ways to allow you to communicate with people that they've matched you with. And I think the real advantage of that is that we all are different. We all have different preferences in terms of how we might communicate in this situation. And reading these would allow you to say, I think that this particular site would be a better fit for me versus another site, based on your own preferences for how to communicate with potential matches. So there's a lot of great information in there, and I would strongly encourage people to check it out. And then again, there's the third Mystic Access book, which is the Google Suite book, which is a real overview of the most used and most popular parts of the Google Suite. So again, we're starting to build up a nice little bunch of Mystic Access books, and I would encourage people to check them out.
Yay, so exciting.
I guess I'll touch on a few more books that will be coming out that you'll see in the holiday catalog, or that you'll see coming out this season. One that I'm really excited about is we'll have a new Deborah Kendrick book, and it's called Navigating Healthcare When All They Can See Is That You Can't. Now, this book is a one-volume book. It's very, very interesting. This is not a book about insurance. It's not about health insurance. It's not about specific medical maladies. What this really is about is how to advocate for yourself as a blind individual in various healthcare settings. It is just a really, really interesting book. Anyone who's familiar with Deborah Kendrick and her writing, you know that she has a very unique narrative voice. She's an excellent writer. And she explores this topic in a way that is so interesting. It's really hard to put it into words. I remember when I was editing it, I was thinking, oh, I'm going to give a copy of this book to my doctor when I'm done, because I know he would be so interested. There's so much that a medical professional could learn from reading this. And it's just unlike anything that we have so far in our catalog. So I think for any of our customers, it'd be really interesting. It's filled with some pragmatic tips and advice on how to handle different situations. And I'm just very excited about it. So that's called Navigating Healthcare. We're also going to have a new Anna Dresner book. So some of you know Jonathan Mosen used to write a book called iOS Without the Eye. And then Anna would write a book called Getting Started with iOS. And Jonathan's book was just what was new in that operating system. Whereas Anna's book was a multi-volume book, just comprehensive from taking your phone out of the box all the way to using it. A real button-by-button, screen-by-screen exploration. Well, Anna has stopped writing the Getting Started books, and Jonathan has stopped writing the iOS Without the Eye books. So Anna took over the niche that Jonathan used to write to, which is covering just what's new in a new operating system. And she'll be coming out with a book called What's New in iOS 13. So it's not like the Getting Started book. It really just covers what's new in iOS 13. But as you know, iOS 13 was an extremely robust update. Many of us saw that coming. The last two updates, 11 and 12, were not as robust, and they were laying, I think, some groundwork for big accessibility changes. And with iOS 13, there are a tremendous amount of accessibility-related updates and changes, and this book covers them all. So iOS 13 is a pretty exciting upgrade, and if you want to know the ins and outs of what's new for this new operating system, that's the book to get. And then, of course, she'll come out with the iOS 13 reference card, which supplements that. Many people buy both. The reference card is more like a reference book, something you can have by your desk if you want to look up a keystroke or a command. She's going to add one new element to the reference card that previous reference cards haven't had, which is, in her summary and discussion of the different voiceover gestures, she's also going to know what is the corresponding gesture or methodology that a sighted person used to affect the same change. So for instance, if you find yourself sitting down with a sighted friend or colleague and you're both trying to sort of help each other figure out how to do something on your phone, you'll know that, oh, if in this case I use a three-finger double tap, what is the sighted person used to make that same change? So just add that extra little piece of information so it makes it a little bit easier to communicate with a sighted spouse or child or whatever about a specific change.
I'll tell you what's hard about working with a sighted person. I work with my mother all the time, and she has an iPad, and sometimes I have to tell her where in relationship to the screen the option is. She knows how to activate stuff, but she might not know how to tell me what the thing is that she's looking for or where it is, because there's a picture and VoiceOver is telling me that it is a settings button or a back button, and my mother just doesn't quite know. So I've gone through the challenging aspect of saying, Mom, it's like on the right side of the screen and it is 3/4 down the screen and it's near this or that. So what would be wonderful too is, if it's at all possible, and I know it'd be hard to do, is to have the pictures or a description of what some of this stuff is.
This is a little blue box with an arrow in it.
Right.
Or, you know, something.
Like the back button or the okay button or, you know, things like that. It's
right.
It's hard to make that translation from blind to sighted.
Yeah, it really
totally
is.
Used to doing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, for sure. And that's in some measure what we're going to try to accomplish with the additional content in the reference card. You know, the reference card is a very small pamphlet, probably won't have imagery, but we do want to add some description to sort of kind of make that communication a little easier when you're either trying to help your sighted friend use their iPhone or vice versa. I'll just briefly cover a few other products that we're pretty excited about. I think I mentioned last time we got together that we have put together a small one-volume book on our Great Expectations program. So we have a program called Great Expectations, and this is all about bringing picture books to life for blind children. So the way this program works is that we will select a book with a certain theme, for instance, colors, money, food, emotions. There's 8 books in the series so far. And then we make the books in print braille. So like our typical print braille children's book, and then we sell that book. Well, for each one of these books in the Great Expectations program, there's also an online component, which is totally free. So every Great Expectations book has 9 free online activities associated with the book. And these activities were designed specifically for blind children. And the activities underscore and emphasize the themes in the book. Now, those online activities are available for anyone, but they're sort of like out-of-the-box activities that you could use if you were a parent. It's a rainy day and you've read the book and you want to do an activity with your child. Or let's say you're a TVI in the classroom and you want to have a small little mini activity or lesson that you can do around the themes of the book. Those activities are there online free for you to access. We want to make more people aware of this really great content that's on our website. So we took one activity, one of these free online activities for every book, and put them into a one volume book, which we will have a large print version of and a braille version of. And the idea is, like, here's a sampling of the types of online content that we have. And if you like what you see, go online and see the rest of it. So we're hoping this is something that will draw attention to the free online content, but also it's just yet another resource for educators, parents and educators to have. And we're really excited about that because the Great Expectations program is a wonderful, wonderful program. This is another way to bring attention to the resources that are available. And again, just want to say one more time, they're free. We often make products geared specifically towards parents or TVIs because, for instance, TVIs, we all know, spend a lot of money out of their own pocket to provide resources to the students that they work with. Well, we want to provide free resources for TVIs so they have materials and they don't have to spend money out of their own pockets. And this is a great example of that type of product. And another product that we're really excited about that's new is a new cookbook. It's called One Pan Dinners. You may remember we had a book called Dump Soups. Well, Dump Soups was kind of similar to One Pan Dinners. These are just easy meals that you can put together really simply. The Dump Soups was you open a can, dump them together, boom, you have a soup. One Pan Dinners is the same sort of thing. Things that you can make without dirtying hundreds of dishes in the kitchen, just simple, easy meals to make. Now, it's funny because if you know our products and you know them well and you've watched us for the last couple seasons, you'll know probably the last 4 cookbooks we put out were healthy cooking, you know, fast and fresh meals, fast and fresh salads, so on and so forth. And we did that because people were like, hey, we want more cookbooks with healthy food. Well, we put out a bunch of cookbooks on healthy food and then people were like, actually, I want some more. I want to go back to unhealthy food. But we put out a lot of cookbooks, healthy cookbooks, and we wanted to remember that, you know, there are some days you just want a hearty casserole. You just want something that's going to be, you know, soul food, you know, casseroles, more hearty things. And again, we always try to change it up, not always have one type of cookbook or one type of anything because our readers all have different preferences. Now, I'm saving the best for last. We are bringing back an older product that we used to have. It's called Touch the Stars. This is an astronomy book. It's going to be the 5th edition. It's been updated to UEB. It has 19 tactile graphics in it, and the tactile graphics have also been updated to UEB. So this was created specifically for blind or visually impaired astronomy lovers or budding scientists or just the naturally curious. It can be used in the classroom or for personal use. It's a hardcover. It's in both large print and braille. And again, it has those 19 tactile graphics, which were created by Creative Adaptations for Learning, which some of you may know, Shirley Keller and Irma Goldberg. It also comes with a companion print volume, which has facsimiles of the tactile graphics, and that's for a sighted friend or relative that you may want to sit down and explore the stars together with. It covers a lot of basic concepts about space. So, for instance, ancient legends about the stars, which is really interesting because people have been curious about the stars since the dawn of humanity and have told stories about them. So it has some of these ancient legends about stars. It talks about the actual physical arrangement of some famous star patterns like Ursa Major, so on and so forth. It talks about different phases of solar and lunar eclipses. It has a lot of interesting facts about all the major planets and tiny little Pluto. There's information about comets, meteors, you know, where they originate in the universe, what they are, where they originate, the life cycle of a star, a lot about the early astronomers, their impact on our understanding of astronomy, their legacy. There's information about modern astronomy. And there's actually a foreword by Kent Cullors, who is a retired director of SETI, which is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And he's actually the world's first totally blind astronomer. So this is a STEM book. It's a science book. It's a great resource for anyone who is interested in science and who is curious about the heavens above us. And we're really excited. We've wanted to bring this book back for a long time, but it was a big endeavor. It's an expensive book to produce, but really worth it because there's really nothing else out there like that. So we always aim to be providing resources that people can't get other places. And I think this is a perfect example of that. I don't know of any other resources on astronomy with large print braille and the corresponding tactile graphics. So we're very, very excited about that. That should be available right around the beginning of December, which by the time this podcast comes out, I believe
it'll be
December.
Right.
It will be December. Yeah. And that will go under my Christmas tree.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely put that under your Christmas tree. Absolutely. Think about it. Every young student is curious about these things.
Yes.
This is a great resource. And we're very, very excited to actually be able to bring that back.
That is so exciting. Yeah. I think Chris and I will probably both have to get that because we're both really into astronomy and all of that. I'm a big Stardate podcast listener. Yeah, I'm always into what's going on up in the sky. So, and having never seen it, you know, having a graphical representation to get some idea, you know, a little more than what I currently have will be fascinating and fantastic.
Well, you know, Kim, you make such a good point. There's so many references to the stars in poetry, in literature, in music. To be able to have a tactile graphic where you can really feel like, oh, how do the stars in Orion, how do the stars, when people talk about Orion's belt, right? Well, how are those stars actually physically related to each other? You know, how is it that we decide that this is a belt on Orion? Well, the tactile graphic will let you explore the relationships, the geometrical relationships between those stars and how that overall pattern is formed. So it is a very, very special product.
Oh, it's so exciting. You've got so many wonderful things coming out over the course of the season. And I know people will have so much fun finding what works for them and what interests them. And of course, while we'd love for you to buy our book, we want you to buy the things that are most interesting to you. And particularly something like this that is just has so much appeal for, I think so many people would be interested to find out about it and learn more. And it just seems like such an incredible project that I hope a lot of people will invest. And of course, keeping in mind the mission of NBP and what we said at the beginning of this, the more books you buy, the more NBP can support literacy and bring more and more books.
Yeah, and I think one last thing that I would say is a good part of my job is coming up with ideas for new products, right? So as I'm developing a plan for upcoming seasons, it's all about the pub plan that I come up with. The quality of that is dependent upon the relationships that I have in the community and people letting me know the things that aren't out there that they think we should be carrying. I get a lot of ideas from the people that I know. So if you are someone who has feedback on any of our existing products or believes there's a product that we should be making that we're not making, I would encourage you to reach out to me. My email address is kwilson, so that's kwilson, at nbp.org. I always love to hear from our readers, and I'd love to know what you think I should be weaving into my pub plan. I'm always open to new ideas. I try to make the books that our community will enjoy. And part of how I do that is by getting feedback from the many friends I have. So reach out.
Absolutely. And get ready to make your holiday purchases, nbp.org, or you can contact customer service
at 888-965-8965.
And we are so excited that there's so much, as always, wonderful goodies that NBP will be sharing with all of you over the holiday season. Thank you so much, Cassell, for sharing all of these with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. I really had a great time. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for your visit to the Mystic Access Magic Castle. You're welcome anytime.
I don't know about the two of you, but that certainly made me want to go shopping. I love their stuff anyway. And
yes,
this sounds really exciting.
Yeah, there are a couple must-haves for me in that list, so I am really looking forward to snatching up some new NBP goodies for the holidays.
You know what I thought of when I heard this? I thought of you and the Christmas cards with the dragons on them.
Totally!
I thought, totally. Oh, Kim is now physically, literally, and in every way over the moon.
Totally, yes. We all know what Christmas cards you're all getting this year. If you get a Christmas card from me, you know what it will be, so... be aware that you will be getting a cute little dragon Christmas card.
Slay the season.
Slay the season.
I like the universe, the stuff about outer space.
The stars.
Yes. Yeah,
that'll be amazing. I'm going to get that too because I'm very excited.
I feel like I can always learn more about iPhone, and there's kind of the whole thing of once a rehab teacher, always a rehab teacher. I want to check out those labels. I'm really curious.
Yeah, those labels really sound cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and have a happy holiday season, no matter what holiday you celebrate. If you don't celebrate a holiday, have a happy time.
Yes, and we will be back. There are more podcasts coming in December, so stay tuned.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
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 The preceding podcast is a presentation of Mystic Access, where the magic is in learning. If you are blind or visually impaired and desire to discover how our comprehensive products and services may support and empower your assistive technology journey, we welcome your visit at www.mysticaccess.com. Have a question or wish to place an order via phone? Call us at 716-543-3323. If you have something to share about this podcast episode, press 4 to reach our Mystic Access podcast comment line. Email us at info@mysticaccess.com. Connect with us on Twitter at twitter.com/mysticaccess and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/mysticaccessempower. Would you like to spread the word about our podcasts? Your friends and colleagues may listen and subscribe at www.mysticaccesspodcast.com. If you enjoy our episodes, consider leaving us an iTunes rating and review. Your comments are greatly appreciated. Thanks for spreading the word, and thanks for being a listener. We hope you enjoyed this episode.